Chapter 32. When the soldiers were gone, Wang Lung and his two elder sons for once agreed, and it was that all trace of what had just passed must be wiped away. And they called in carpenters and masons again, and the men-servants cleaned the courts, and the carpenters mended cunningly the broken carvings and tables, and the pools were emptied of their filth, and clean fresh water put in. And again the elder son bought flecked and golden fish, and he planted once more the flowering trees, and he trimmed the broken branches of the trees that were left. And within a year the place was fresh and flowering again, and each son had moved again into his own court, and there was order once more everywhere. The slave who had conceived by the son of Wang Lung's uncle, he commanded to wait upon his uncle's wife as long as she lived, which couldn't be long now, and to put her into the coffin when she died. And it was a matter for joy to Wang Lung that this slave gave birth only to a girl, for if it had been a boy, she would have been proud and have claimed a place in the family. But being a girl, it was only slave bearing slave, and she was no more than before. Nevertheless, Wang Lung was just to her as to all, and he said to her that she might have the old woman's room for her own, if she liked, when the old one was dead. And she could have the bed also. And one room and one bed would not be missed from the 60 rooms in the house. And he gave the slave a little silver, and the woman was content enough except for one thing. And this she told to Wang Lung when he gave her the silver. "Hold the silver as dowry for me, my master," she said. "And if it's not a trouble to you, wed me to a farmer or to a good poor man. It will be merit to you, and having lived with a man, it's hardship to me to go back to my bed alone." Then Wang Lung promised easily. And when he promised, he was struck with a thought, and it was this. Here was he promising a woman to a poor man. And once he had been a poor man come into these very courts for his woman. And he had not for half a lifetime thought of O Lan. And now he thought of her with sadness, that was not sorrow, but only heaviness of memory, and things long gone, so far distant was he from her now. And he said heavily, "When the old opium dreamer dies, I will find a man for you then, and it can't be long." And Wang Lung did as he said. The woman came to him one morning and said, "Now redeem your promise, my master, for the old one died in the early morning without waking at all, and I have put her in her coffin." And Wang Lung thought what man he knew now on his land, and he remembered the blubbering lad who had caused Ching's death, and the one whose teeth were a shelf over his lower lip. And he said, "Well, and he didn't mean the thing he did, and he is as good as any, and the only one I can think of now." So he sent for the lad, and he came. And he was a man grown now, but still he was rude, and still his teeth were as they were. And it was Wang Lung's whim to sit on the raised dais in the great hall, and to call the two before him, and he said slowly, that he might taste the whole flavor of the strange moment, "Here, fellow, is this woman. And she is yours if you will have her. And none has known her except the son of my own uncle." And the man took her gratefully, for she was a stout wench and good-natured. And he was a man too poor to wed except to such an one. And Wang Lung came down off the dais, and it seemed to him that now his life was rounded off, and he had done all that he said he would in his life, and more than he could ever have dreamed he could. And he didn't know himself how it had all come about. Only now it seemed to him that peace could truly come to him, and he could sleep in the sun. It was time for it, also, for he was close to 65 years of his age, and his grandsons were like young bamboos about him, 3 the sons of his eldest son, and the eldest of these nearly 10 years old, and 2 the sons of his second son. Well, and there was the third son to wed one day soon, and with that over there was nothing left to trouble him in his life. and they could be at peace. But there was no peace. It seemed as though the coming of the soldiers had been like the coming of a swarm of wild bees that leave behind them stings wherever they can. The wife of the eldest son and the wife of the second son, who had been courteous enough to each other until they lived in one court together, now had learned to hate each other with a great hatred. It was born in 100 small quarrels, the quarrels of women whose children must live and play together and fight each other like cats and dogs. Each mother flew to the defense of her child, and cuffed the other's children heartily, but spared her own. And her own had always the right in any quarrel. And so the two women were hostile. And then, on that day when the cousin had commended the country wife and laughed at the city wife, that had passed which could not be forgiven. The wife of the elder son lifted her head haughtily when she passed her sister-in-law, and she said aloud one day to her husband as she passed, "It's a heavy thing to have a woman bold and ill-bred in the family, so that a man may call her red meat and she laughs in his face." And the second son's wife didn't wait, but she answered back loudly, "Now my sister-in-law is jealous because a man called her only a piece of cold fish." And so the two fell to angry looks and hatred, although the elder, being proud of her correctness, would deal only in silent scorn, careful to ignore the other's very presence. But when her children would go out of their own court, she called out, "I would have you stay away from ill-bred children." This she called out in the presence of her sister-in-law, who stood within sight in the next court. And that one would call out to her own children, "Don't play with snakes or you'll be bitten." So the two women hated each other increasingly. And the thing was the more bitter because the two brothers didn't love each other well, the elder always being fearful lest his birth and his family seem lowly in the eyes of his wife, who was town-bred and better born than he, and the younger fearful lest his brother's desire for expenditure and place lead them into wasting their heritage before it was divided. Moreover, it was a shame to the elder brother that the second brother knew all the money their father had, and what was spent, and the money passed through his hands, so that although Wang Lung received and dispensed all the monies from his lands, still the second brother knew what it was, and the elder didn't, but must go and ask his father for this and that like a child. So when the two wives hated each other, their hatred spread to the men also, and the courts of the two were full of anger, and Wang Lung groaned, because there was no peace in his house.
This ends Disc 10.